Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me in studio, the man I know and love for many years now, Mr. Stephen Weasel Hurley. Weasel Weasel!
Yeah, boy!
Stephen Weasel Hurley walking in here with me in the Student of the Game studios here on NGSCSports.com, where we have never stopped. And hey, you know, don't forget, if you're not able to hear us live, do that whole thing, you know, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, the TuneIn app, TalkShoe, among other places. Good times all the way around. Why? Well, on this show at least, because football. That's why, of course. You know, a lot of stuff going on. We are, of course, missing local hero Steve. It's tough. I called you Steve. That's odd. But we are missing local hero Chris Rankin because, once again, his daughter's softball coach doesn't know how to show up to a game on time or something. You know, not like that's a big deal, though, Weasel. I mean, it's only, you know, the semifinals of her league and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, all that consideration. Anyways, good luck to young Anna Rankin in her softball endeavors, nonetheless. But speaking of things that I find to be more annoying than coaches not showing up to their softball tournaments, stupid Deflategate. Of course, we got some actual news that Roger Goodell will indeed still be hearing the appeal on June 23rd. But we, before the show, and you may have heard us rattling a little bit here on the entire webs if you were listening to us live beforehand, Weasel brought something to my attention that may be old news, but I wasn't aware of. And what was it? It was there are actual Patriot fans trying to raise funds to pay off the Patriot fund. Is that accurate?
Okay, yes, it is.
Yes.
So,
yes, it is.
There's a thing called, I guess it's called a GoFundMe.com.
GoFundMe.com.
And so I'll just read a little excerpt from this. Okay. This is by the guy who tried to set it up. Hello, everyone, and thank you yet again for the support and donations. Despite what Kraft or anyone has said, we gathered this money for a reason and will not do anything else until it is directed from them. We have sent out a certified letter and are awaiting a response from the team. Until then, we cannot... and will not do anything with this money. They have the input on what is going to happen, whether Kraft pays the fine or not. And that total right now is at $16,297 raised by 1,164 Patriots fans in 21 days.
So that's approximately $16 a fan.
It's like, really, guys? Really? And just to let you know, yeah, I think people may realize that Kraft could pay for it. I think his, like, he uses, like, I think...
But it's not the money, Weasel. It's the point. Pretty white men in America everywhere that are rich are getting oppressed. You see how ridiculous this is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kraft, billionaire.
I'm talking about Tom Brady. I mean, he's not even the richest person in his household.
And even, I think, the Patriots, I think they're the second highest, I guess, grossing team or whatever.
The value of the franchise. Okay.
I think they're at about $2 billion.
Well, and part of that is because they own their stadium, which is, it's pretty rare that the owner actually owns the stadium. Most teams and professional franchises get the city and stuff involved. But yeah, no, Kraft owns it.
Yeah. The Patriots, I recall, I think they're $2 billion worth, and the number one is Dallas, who has like $2.5 million or so.
Also, due to the situation with the stadium.
So, yeah, that's that.
$2 billion. Ba-da-da-da-da. See, if this were TV, you would see me having my pinky by my mouth. And this is looking really funny. I'm gonna stop that now.
You can tell the reference.
Yes. Yeah, you can tell it's definitely a Dr. Evil reference. Perhaps that reference was evil.
Nicely done. All right.
But yeah, I mean, look, okay, Patriots fans, like look, I know that there are Patriots fans out there who think I give Patriots fans a lot of flack, and I do. But let's just step back a minute. This is why people don't like you. Okay? And let me tell you why. If you're not getting it. Okay. The whole sit-in in the New York office of the NFL was cute. Okay, fine. Getting arrested for it was just stupid. But okay, you're trying to let the NFL know your grievance. I can almost appreciate it. I don't, but I could. This is just disgusting. Like,
yeah.
If you want, I'm sure there's some sort of local Boston youth football needs the money way more than the Patriots.
I think what they kind of said what they're going to end up doing most likely is that the Patriots say, no, we're not going to take that money. You guys are stupid. Yeah. Then they're going to donate it to a charity. But what kind of charity? I don't know.
This guy who started the charity offshore Swiss bank account fund.
It's just one of those things that you got to shake your head.
Yeah. Come on, guys. You know, I mean, look, you don't have to agree with the charges. And you could be completely oblivious to a preponderance of evidence and, you know, all this other stuff. That's fine. You could even try and tell me that Brady's a better quarterback than Montana. If you wish to be that stupid, that's on you. But this is just irreprehensible. So my response, GoFundMe is the name of the site, Weasel?
Something like that,
My response is, go fund yourself. You like that, Weasel?
That one wasn't bad.
You should see Weasel's smile on his face. Yeah. It was like you're going to almost curse, but then you didn't. Yay.
Doesn't happen that often, but I like it.
Hey, man. I got to entertain you sometimes, bro. Go fund yourself, Patriots fans. Anyways. Right. Speaking of funding, ooh, excellent transition. I can't. Weasel.
Yeah, boy.
There you go. I got to give you props. Good transition here. But speaking of funding things, so the Carolina Panthers find themselves in a place very soon where one Cameron Newton will have his contract. Well, let's just say he's in talks, as they say at the moment. His contract in 2015 is the last year within it. He will be a free agent in 2016 due to make $14.6 million. Actually, not really. Anyways, so let me leave with this. And they're still in talks, but the talk is that Cam Newton's contract would make him a Panther through 2020. This is 2020, you know, through the year 2020. Is that a good thing in your mind, Weasel?
He was a former number one pick, and
he's still currently a number one pick.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. And the thing about it, I think let's see, it was. His first season, I believe they went to the playoffs.
They did not. They were just short.
Okay. And but this past one, they did pretty good. And I think
he's in the playoffs.
He's worth it. He's a natural leader. People try to nitpick him. Mistakes
he
makes.
Whoa. A quarterback getting nitpicked? What the hell, Weasel?
Well, it's that... The thing is the guy, you know, he's a leader and stuff. And an article I read was there's a guy, Steph Curry. He was the NBA MVP.
Correct.
And word is that Cam Newton actually helped him out. I think he was he wanted to get his like confidence up, and because the guy is Stephen Curry is a ridiculous talent. The guy can like. Get up there, shoot anywhere he wants, and make it. And he makes it look really, really easy. So Cam Newton, leadership, the way he puts himself forward and stuff, actually helped him because it's the way that a quarterback has to prepare for games, and with film study and all that. That made the other guy a better player, but huge contract. Nothing like, I would say, like a Peterson thing where it's, I don't want anything that'll cripple the franchise, but... At least for the next like three, four years or something, he should be paid pretty well.
Well, let me put it this way, and I could be completely off base with this, but I don't hear anything about $20 million contracts, i.e. a Russell Wilson negotiation, for example, right? pop quiz, better quarterback, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton.
I'd say Russell Wilson.
Get out. Anyways. More on that later. So, no, but, really? No, I'll let it go. It's hard, but I'll let it go. Anyway. See, here's where I'm at with Cam Newton. You know for a fact that the Panthers are successful based on two things. Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly. That's just truth. Whereas the Seahawks, they're successful because of that defense and Marshawn Lynch. The numbers say it. The film says it. If you don't agree with me, just go have your head examined or, you know, just watch more film. Just stop it. But in the meantime, here's the thing about it. Cam Newton is kind of a Matt Ryan type, and we've had this discussion before. You're not going to go and roll the dice if you're Carolina to replace Cam, to can Cam. Can Cam, I like that. He's good enough to keep himself fed, so to speak, but he's made enough mistakes to where people see he's not perfect. I wouldn't call him elite. But, man, I'll tell you, as quarterbacks who are fun to watch go, this guy's high on the list for me. I mean, I'm not going to give him too much credit for winning a playoff game with a losing record. That just wasn't impressive to me because of the game they ended up playing. The Cardinals were, like, you know, a mash unit and, like, five guys in a wheelchair when they played him in the playoffs, right? I mean, you know, stop it. Just no. That's no. No. Weasel, no.
Just no.
It's terrible. But I'll ask you this. They got Kelvin Benjamin, and that's looking good so far. Mm-hmm. What other piece do you feel like the Panthers need to advance?
Well, let's see. Actually, I'm gonna check a little bit about the sacks that the guy has taken.
Well, and actually, let me get to that too, because you mentioned Cam Newton as a leader. I think the difference between him and a lot of other quarterbacks is you try to protect him because that's what you do if you're in a position to block and pass protection. You're supposed to let the quarterback throw the ball and give him time to do so. But I think in Cam's case, he's somebody there in there who's proven that he can mix it up on the football field. Hell, not for nothing. He was in the car accident late in the season last year where he chipped a vertebrae or something like that and ended up coming back into play. I mean, I don't think that was necessarily a quote-unquote smart move, but it'll definitely garner you respect amongst your teammates. He's going to mix it up. He's going to be in there. He's one of the guys in the fight. You know, the general who leads his troops into the proverbial battle, so to speak. Whereas, rather than a guy like, say, an Eli Manning who sits back, okay, guys, protect me so I cannot throw an interception. Okay, guys. I have no idea where I'm going with that. But, I mean, that makes sense what I'm getting at. So, and by the way, not for nothing, Steph Curry, taking that as a draw, if you're somebody who's a captain in basketball like that, you have to be in the thick of it. You can't hide behind the line or in the crowd. I mean, you know, there's fewer players on the floor, things like that. You have to be in the mix of it. You got to have game, as the people say. They don't just give you the captain title because you're the quarterback like they do apparently in football all too bloody often. But what do you got, Weasel?
Something that's a pretty interesting with the offense for the Panthers. Mm-hmm. We got Kelvin Benjamin, 6'5", 240 pounds.
Big dude.
And I think he really did. There was a rumor over in the...
Stop with the draft conspiracy theory.
But I'll just say this.
Fantasy files are fake too, Weasel.
6'5", 240 pounds, wide receiver, and broke the 1,000-yard mark. So
yes, he did.
They drafted Devin Funchess. 6'4", 232 pounds.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that they still have Greg Olsen.
That's correct. Very good.
So tight end, I think they're good. He's a scoring tight end, blocking wise, and I don't know, but
he ain't bad.
Running backs, I think D'Angelo Williams, he left. Mm-hmm. I think they still got Jonathan Stewart, but
as a bruiser back, I mean, how much time does he really have left if he is still on the squad?
Because they've always been with having Stewart and D'Angelo, they're health was always an issue between the two. And I think maybe this guy from Auburn, Cameron Artis Payne, maybe he can help out. But I'd say just go offensive line, and because he's a great scrambler, had 5 touchdowns last year on the ground. So, I mean, you protect your investment, and I think that would be the best way to do it, because he does have weapons.
That's a very interesting point of view, and I'm taking nothing away from you on that. It's a good analysis. Let me throw something in here as somebody who's played a bit in the trenches, okay? There is nothing more difficult to block for than a scrambling quarterback, because you have no idea what the bleep this bleeping guy is bleeping, trying to bleep and do to you to bleep you up.
That's true, because...
Holy bleep.
When you got the plays and stuff, you block someone a certain way. And
correct.
So if he, like, you know, goes, runs around the pocket, it's like, and then, you could then look bad.
Yeah, doing your job, you block the guy to the outside. If he rolls outside and then eats camp for breakfast, I mean, you know, oh, that tackle made a horrible block. No. Dip dude didn't stay in the pocket. I'm not saying that Cam Newton does this often. I'm just saying it's a difficulty one must face. It's a balance. It's a kind of a tribute to how intelligent Cam Newton really is, because I don't often see him picking the wrong time to run. Even as a rookie, he was pretty good about deciding when to run. I think the thing that he did start to get over, and I know it cheesed you off, but his presence on the mic after a loss and just the mopey McMoperson that he was. Personally, I liked it. It showed he cared, but it's something he's cleaned up to be a little less outward about it and be more of a team leader rather than somebody who's like, yeah, we lost. Losing blows. I don't like losing. Well, what could he have done better? It's all my fault. I'm a terrible human being. I'm probably like up there with Hitler with how terrible I am. I mean, you know, it's okay. Yeah, yes, it's called hyperbole, Weasel. Mm-hmm. I'm intentionally being an extreme that's ridiculous. Because people cutting on him for this, in my opinion, is kind of ridiculous. But not happening to the same extent. Look, I'm not saying that I'm looking for people to throw chairs and stuff after every game they lose. Although I was very fond of Bobby Knight as a college basketball coach. But I digress. I like a guy who cares about the outcome. Get over it, but care. You know, especially at this level. I mean, it seems like kind of a must, right? I don't know. Were you the one who was all bothered by LaDainian Tomlinson in his career?
How so?
In the playoffs, he was hurt, and he was moping when he was hurt.
Okay. I remember that, but
like, I don't think you were the guy. It might have been Drew. Drew.
Most likely was Drew.
I mean, no offense to him. It's not that he didn't have a point, but I mean, at some point, look. I mean, do you expect the dude to have pom-poms? I don't get it.
I think the main thing about with the attitude of a player, even if you're getting crushed and all, is that from 0 to 60 minutes, you'd be fired up. You'd be pumped. You care. You try to rally up your teammates. Jameis Winston, I think when they were, I think for their national championship game a couple years back and stuff, I think he did a comeback and stuff with the team. And
yeah, no, the championship he won, the first half was all Auburn.
Yeah, so. And the thing was is that you still have, you see players, like some quarterbacks, even if they're doing bad, they just say thanks to the offensive line, do this, do that. But after the game, though, during your post-conference, yeah, whatever. Just, show some emotion. Okay, that's fine. But just during the game, I think Cutler does it. He kind of sits on the bench and, like, with his head down, like, duh.
Well,
I'm so mopey.
I think what you're confused about
you
is
don't even know.
I think that's just his face. Nobody knows the trouble I see.
So, but you do have, I think Russell Wilson... He is one of those players that he's a...
Russell Wilson.
He is enthusiastic with his players during the game. So
I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that. I mean, I'm not looking for an extreme like the guy that's always like, I'm not looking for that. I mean, another guy that does it right, you know, Peyton Manning. I think when you're a guy who gets commended for getting an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty in a preseason game, you've been doing it right for a number of years. I'll put it like that. If quarterbacks, if you want to know how to treat your teammates, that's a good question. What quarterback emulates how you should treat your teammates? Interesting.
Maybe it would be kind of like a Peyton, because he'll...
I think he might be a little too perfectionist to be the prototype, but...
Well, I think it's when you're actually a good quarterback that you want the guys in front of you to be like, hey, I like Peyton. I'm not going to become a revolving door so he gets sacked.
Oh!
And so... But I think he's like, you know, hard on his teammates. He says, you know, he wants, you know, he wants the best out of them. But I think at some point, yeah, you just don't be a jerk with them because your health depends on it. So
yeah, don't be Dan Marino, famous for yelling at his offensive line. Of course, Dan Marino gets a bit of a pass because he basically was the Dolphins squad on offense. I mean, let's call that what it is. You know, I don't know. So anyways, yeah, I think because, you know, I looked at Cam's stats, and he's in the league 4 years. This dude's still pretty young, you know? And he was drafted in 26. 2011.
He's got time, yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you know, you got Drew Brees who's talking about, you know, maybe I can't play till I'm 45. I mean, the fact that this division is in the state of disarray it is, all you got to do is have a decent quarterback and you're going to be in playoff contention on a regular basis because your team has a better chance to win the damn division.
Oh, and how about this little thing? Okay, they went to the postseason last year? Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
They played Arizona in the first round.
As I said, yeah.
And 27-16 win. And Arizona's defense, it's no joke. So that's pretty good.
It is joke-free.
Yeah. And then Seattle, it was 17-31 they lost. But, hey, winning a playoff game like that, I mean, I think they kind of, their record kind of backed in type of thing.
It was 7-9, Weasel. That's exactly what happened.
So, but he's got a win under his belt. And another guy that's, I guess, 4 years or so.
You're just, okay.
I'm going to do some hating on Andy Dalton.
You're going to do this again?
Yeah.
You're gonna do this again? Okay.
Yeah.
How many playoff games did the Bengals get to without Andy Dalton?
Yeah, a lot, maybe.
No. Put the pipe down. Just stop it.
Maybe like a couple.
Stop it. No.
Well, no. I'm gonna hate anyways.
How many playoff games does Joe Flacco get the Bengals to?
All I'll say is this. 4 playoff games. One passing touchdown.
Okay.
Drop mic.
Okay, yeah. Let me pick your mic back up. And at least 2 dropped by AJ Green and Giovanni Bernard. And mic drop back down on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, he has thrown another passing touchdown. Unfortunately, in his first playoff game, it was to JJ Watt! Yeah!
So he's got 2 touchdowns of credit to him. Good for him.
Actually, and look, okay, so first of all...
Can I count that towards my stats?
I mean, the first, okay, so his rookie year, that pick by J.J. Watt just basically blew the whole game open. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just, I still watch it in awe, and I know what's going to happen. It's kind of like when you told me about the fact that the dude calls himself the deflator in the text messages. I know it's coming, and I read it, and it still blows my mind.
It's very obvious that they're talking about weight loss.
Oh, excuse me. You're right, Weasel. Thank you. Anyways.
Yeah.
So then they played against the Texans again. All right. That was kind of sad. The one they should have won, in my opinion, wasn't this year's game. I didn't think they were going to win that game. I'm sorry. Although Le'Veon Bell doing what he did. But and I forget who it was they played. I think it was the Chargers. Don't quote me. But that's the game they should have won. That's the one where Giovanni Bernard fumbled the ball in the red zone. That's the one where AJ Green dropped a touchdown pass. And then, you know, on top of all that, Andy Dalton had a very bad fumble himself. So, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where they're not the Bungles anymore, and it's happening on Carson Palmer's watch. You look at it on a stat sheet, it's 4 losses, but I'm, you know, smart enough to know that it's bigger than that when it's the postseason. And I understand that. I mean, you know, the AFC North to topple the Steelers and Ravens as the Bengals have in the past couple of years winning that division, that's a heck of an accomplishment itself. No one's going to remember it. I'm not saying Andy Dalton should go to the Hall of Fame or anything that stupid, but let's not call him a bad quarterback, okay? Andy Dalton is...
still talking about him.
Andy Dalton is this generation's Matt Ryan. And that was going to be my final statement until you had to be all talking smack. But you brought him up. Why is this my fault? I'm sorry, what? Exactly. Which leads me to my next point. Cam Newton is the best quarterback in that draft class. Andy Dalton, of course, is second. Boom. What? No. So I don't know. But do you agree with the statement that Cam being in the South until 2020, if this contract goes the way that it's rumored to, pretty much guarantees the Panthers, it's 2015 now, 3 playoff appearances out of the next 5 years?
I wouldn't say anything like guarantee, but I could see it.
Oh,
happen.
No, that's what I'm asking you.
It could happen.
Okay.
Not necessarily divisions, still, but at least make the playoffs. I think they could do it.
Still a very lukewarm answer, but at least you answered the question, yeah. And that's all I'm... Come on. Oh, you were just talking about leadership and getting fired up. Come on. And then you come out with, I think so. Come on, man. Come on, man. good times. See, this is the kind of radio you get with off-season stuff, man. Anyways, silliness aside. You know what? We got more coming up here, too. Weasel's got to throw down some crazy on Adrian Peterson. Or is it Adrian Peterson throwing down the crazy? I don't know. We'll let you decide in a minute. See, did you hear that discuss? The
Yeah.
Try not to hack into my mic too much. I don't know. Anyways, we'll be back in a bit. We're going to go take a quick break here. While I clean off Weasel's mic, you're listening to NGSC Sports. This is the student of the game. We try that again with the mics on. So, Weasel.
Yeah.
Oh, much better. As somebody who was previously kind of a tuba player, a little bit, on occasion. Better use in that song, tubas or timpanis?
You kind of like the boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom.
Got to go with the tuba.
I don't know, man. I think you're a little biased there because the... I mean, the timpani makes it. Actually, the correct answer is neither. It needs them both.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. I don't know, man. So, and look, we talked about it last week a little bit with the posturing. And I'm Adrian Peterson. I think the way I beat my kids is A-okay, allegedly. And St. Weasel was like, oh, you threw the allegedly in there. It's okay. What... What do you make? And I'll let you set it up a little bit. So he goes a little Twitter crazy. And I don't like talking about tweets so much. But it shows kind of the attitude of what's going on with Adrian Peterson and the Vikings camp. And I'm kind of wondering where you shake out on it as a Vikings fan.
Oh, how he's acting?
Well, I mean, you said it that way. I'm just, you know...
Well, we'll start off at Adrian Peterson's birth now.
He's making jokes from the beginning of the show.
Okay, so, all right. I'll just say this. I'm despicable about the way he's acting. And
Does he need minions?
What's that?
Does he need minions? see what I did there?
No, he needs a dictionary. That's what he needs.
Oh!
The reason I said that was that he doesn't know what the word leverage means.
Okay.
It's like...
Break it down.
So, I'd say there was like, what, 10 tweets? that were sent by Peterson, and he's talking about honoring contracts. And I think he later said, oh, this has nothing to do with the Vikings. It's like,
oh, of course not.
Really, dude? So yeah. Honoring contracts, and he does make a good point with when you honor your contract, you play it out. And if you're a team, though, why can they, if you're done with guaranteed money, like some players usually in their first 3 years or so, they get $36 million guaranteed or something like that, or maybe lower. But what happens with that money is that you're guaranteed it, you're good to go. But after contracts, you have these ridiculous numbers, like $12.75 million, you have $13 million and so. And he wants it so that the NFL players' contracts are guaranteed, where you go into those later years and you're going to get paid. They're going to expect you to pay a player that's about what? He's 30. One of them that's 30 years right now.
Boom.
Pay him $13-14 million. You know, it's just not really smart for the teams. But he went on a Twitter. It's one tweet, two tweets, okay, but like nine tweets talking about it. I don't think he's the one that's behind these tweets. I think he's got an agent that has a weird history with his agents, his players. Jermaine Gresham, J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt.
Jeremy Maclin. You got Trent Williams from the Redskins.
Buffalo, thinking somebody. Did he play for
offensive line, Redskins.
Oh, I'm thinking Edwards. Excuse me. Thank you.
And,
thank you, Weasel. Sorry. Goodness
so, yeah,
gracious.
All those players, they fired him. Even his CAA, it's a sports agency and stuff, I think they also fired him out of there. So he's got
Peterson.
When you
lose that many clients, chances are you're not going to be sticking around.
I think supposedly they saw that he wanted to maybe go on his own or something.
Oh, well.
So they're like, oh, yeah, see you, dude.
Peace.
So
here's a hint for those of you out there in the professional world. If you want to start your own firm but you still want the capital of a day-to-day job, keep it to yourself.
But I think one thing about this, it being Adrian Peterson that's writing these,
yes,
is that the tweets, I think he's saying is that he's talking about, it talks about contracts, it talks about all this, but just with his situation last year of sitting on his butt for playing one game and getting paid about $7.5 million for doing absolutely nothing,
right?
He doesn't mention anything like that, but
of course not.
One thing I don't think he understands is that when he steps foot onto the field in the 2015 season, I'm pretty sure that $12.75 million is his. I'm pretty sure. Something along those lines.
Not exactly. Okay. So here's what I'll say. I think past a certain date that the Vikings are committed to pay that. Yes.
At a certain date. So, the thing is it's kind of clear. The Vikings have been saying, look, we want you to play. We're not asking you to you must renegotiate your contract. They're not saying that.
We're going to pay you $12.75 million.
And people say that he's 30 and the guy, I think he still has a lot of miles left. And I think we'll see this year.
Yeah.
Because he has a year off.
Right.
But he wants to be paid. I think his 2015 is, I'll call it guaranteed because he's going to play. He's going to play with the Vikings.
We'll say the $12.75 million he'll be owed, provided the Vikings actually do keep him. Because I think there's still time for them to cut him and all.
They were not going to cut him.
I don't think they are either. Yeah, I don't think they are either.
You can't cut him in. They have no problem paying $13 million to a 30-year running back. It's just that Peterson, I think he, for some reason, I don't know, who could have maybe influenced them to make that to make this choice?
Perhaps somebody who is an agent of his negotiations.
Yeah, and it was that movie. I think it was called Dogma.
Dogma.
Yeah. So the
see what you did there.
Yeah,
that's a good movie, by the way.
That is a good movie. So, but said agent, I think he's pushing Adrian Peterson to try to get more guaranteed money because I think that's in his best interest. Now,
right.
This season, 12.7. I think next season, $13.5 million. It's up there or so. I think. Let me see. I think $14.7 million. So for 2016, he wants that to be guaranteed and stuff. And I think I think it was something that he says that he wants the Vikings to, not honor his contract, but he wants to like retire a Viking. And
oh yeah.
And but he says, by doing that, I want, you know, all this guaranteed money. In his past, I think there's been, I think for his contract he signed in 2011. Pretty sure he got around $36 million guaranteed. Signing bonus was about $13 million. And he's been paid $8.2 million, $8 million, $11.2 million, $11.7 million. Next year is going to be the $12.75 million.
Correct.
So why he's doing this, and I was looking at the tweets and stuff, and it's, I don't think it's him. I don't think it's all him, because I looked at a lot. I'm reading his tweets from back then. There's some people that do this, but they go crazy on exclamation points. And I noticed that for a lot of his tweets, but for 9 tweets to be talking like that very seriously, like having these players that they don't make anything close to $12.75 million. They don't smell that in their lifetime. And to have him say, I want guaranteed money, I think one of the problems with the league is that you have a third round, fourth round pick. And he's going to be paid about, I think sometimes it's like 4 year, $4 million. What happens throughout the season is that you're going to have a guy, let's see, mid-round pick. Mid-round pick should be paid. Richard Sherman.
Okay.
I think he didn't sign a new contract, right?
Oh, no, he's been extended.
But for how long?
I'd have to look that part up, but he has gotten an extension for more money.
Well,
oh yeah.
Look up what year he started.
Yeah, I'm checking.
And when the contract was. Because if you have a player that's on their in the third or fourth round pick, they're being paid about what, like $500,000, not even $500,000. I would say about
$300,000. I have Richard Sherman in front of me. His base salary for his first year, by the way, also drafted in 2011 like Cam Newton and Andy Dalton. $375,000 was his base salary with in his first year, and he had a $182,000 signing bonus. So for all intents and purposes, Richard Sherman was signed with only a $182,000 guaranteed. Now, he was then extended in 2014, aka last year, with an $11 million signing bonus. And his base salary in 2015 is $10 million.
Now, some players, like I would say, you know, Sherman, they produce very well. I think Sherman, I think last year after the Brady thing, about where he, 2 years ago when he was calling Brady out and stuff. And
mad bro.
That, yeah, you mad bro thing. He's clearly like an elite player.
He is now, well, yeah.
But with that contract, you have players that are just sitting there. Heinz Ward talked about, I think, this at times for his contract. He's saying that I'm getting paid about $300,000, and I'm in like my fourth year in the league. And so it's like with them, I understand the contract thing with, hey, if I don't have enough guarantee money, I'm going to get cut. But Peterson saying something like that, especially when you're set to make $12.75 million, and I'm pretty sure the number last year was $7.5 million for playing that one game sitting down. I think it's just, I agree with what he was talking about, but he is not the person to bring that up. especially after his legal things and what just, you know, I can't wrap my mind around is that he's mad at the Vikings for not supporting him enough. I just, every time I hear that, I'm like, dude, they couldn't.
Well, right. I mean, when the mayor of the city comes out and says, you better sit him down. We just built you a new stadium. We don't want him playing. So there's that among other things. I mean, I don't even want to get into the politics, quote, of it. In Adrian Peterson's case, there's two things. And it's funny because I have 2 points, but both of them go directly against something you were saying.
Okay.
And one of them is he's trying to get that year some more guaranteed money. And
and that would be at the age 31.
Correct. And any player of Peterson's caliber should do that. Especially at his age, okay? I mean, in Peterson's case, hell, ACL tear, that's all right. I'll just run for 2,000 yards, suck it, you know? And that alone makes the concept of playing, rolling the dice with Peterson's shelf life difficult. And I can see why, because he, because of that accomplishment, I think he's earned the right to slide those chips onto the table. Now, if he wants to take that risk, that's his right. I don't want to take that away from him. But if it were anybody else, I would think that was stupid. Here's the other thing. You're making the point about the fact that NFL contracts aren't necessarily guaranteed for their full life. Here's the thing. You see, the thing is, well, first of all, he still got some guaranteed money left in the form of a $12 million signing bonus. His contract that he's currently on, 6 years, $86 million. Okay? In a life and time where running backs are not the fort of NFL teams. They're not the main attraction. They're not the central point. Now, with the Vikings, they sure were. And by they, I mean he sure was. But all that being said, look, you know what the rules are. Okay? You opted to take $12 million and get a higher contract value. Look, Weasel, you and I don't get paid to talk about football or any of the sports we do. Certainly, we don't get paid to put together NFL contracts. But the basic rule we understand is that the guaranteed money is far more important than the price tag. And you were betting on the fact that you would be a you would have staying power. You took a higher contract with a lower amount of guaranteed money, in this case, $36 million of the $86 guaranteed in total. I mentioned the $12 million because that was a signing bonus. But when that day comes that you run out of guaranteed money, that's a you problem.
It's all the players do sign a contract. But I think with when you're an NFL player, you when you have like a, your contract coming up, mm-hmm. there's an extension that you could do.
Sure.
And there, I'm sure that the players, they should, you know, read through the contract and all that good stuff.
Well, they have agents for that.
And yeah,
they're,
agents.
They're presented to it very clearly that this these are your options. Okay. Now, granted, perhaps the agents are motivated to get the biggest money grab that they can because it fills it lines their own pockets. That's very true. That is certainly a risk and a threat. I'm not taking that off the table at all. I don't even remember the agent's name, and frankly, I don't care to learn it. Because him taking advantage of Adrian Peterson, a guy who was once a poster boy for the NFL. He had an ESPN commercial. That was pretty cool, actually.
His rookie year, he was the only person that I bought two jerseys for.
Yeah.
So I got the purple one and the white one. And he was
and
just...
then it eventually became a Favre jersey. Oh, no, wait. That was Randy Moss.
No, I didn't do that. But he didn't. The thing about it is, he was very humble.
Yeah. As,
and for many years, actually, in the beginning in the NFL, and he was you know, he played with passion and all that good stuff.
The only thing he was known for off the field was a tough handshake. That's about it.
Yeah. Oh, and we won't talk about somebody saying that Peterson has one of the strongest handshakes that ever. Then people meet him because he gives a very firm one. And. And I'll just say that he was off last year for, I guess, allegedly? Allegedly.
Oh, no, he was convicted.
Yeah. Well, I think he pled guilty to a lesser charge type of thing. But he's kind of one of the a feared player in the NFL. I think William Gay is an example of a cornerback where the Pittsburgh Steelers played the Vikings. And you can look it up on YouTube.
Were you
I think it's shown many. Oh, well, it's shown many times. He runs over William Gay.
Sure.
I mean, he just. It's like William Gay was going for the tackle. Peterson just flattened him, and he didn't even like get jump back, drop back, and he kept on running over him. And it's a, you know, it's sad that you know you have a 4-year-old kid here, and whenever you have
that.
A switch, and his strength, his size. The guy's what, like 6'1" and like 220 or so?
I don't know. I can look.
And he's going against a 4-year-old. It's like it's quite ridiculous. But all I'll say is this: you could write it down if you want. But I think that by the beginning of the season, I think it's Bob Dagra, his agent right now. I think he's going to get fired because I don't think this is all Peterson. I think he would make a. You would when you write a Twitter thing, it's not an essay. Some people make it like that, but it's an essay that, and it's like, I don't think he did that. So I'm thinking that he's going to have a different agent, and I don't know how his views changed, because I think he's also being fed information from him.
Well,
saying,
being surrounded by yes men is a problem that a lot of pro athletes have. Yeah,
and it's stuff like, I want to, you know, I would say that he wants to be the money guaranteed, I guess, for later on, so he could, and he wants to retire a Viking type of thing. It's like the guy just, I don't think he gets that people are mad that he got $7.5 million for sitting out last year. So he was took care of his legal issues and everything, and he played a game fully healthy, yet the guy just, he was suspended the last 6 games of the season, but the first 10 he got paid. And when he's throwing out things like contract extension, or not really contract extension, he
guaranteed
wants
my money.
Guaranteed money?
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that, I mean, I found despicable.
Yeah, well, and legitimate points there, Weasel. I don't think it's any one thing, because you and I have pointed out a number of things that Peterson's done wrong throughout this whole escapade, right? I mean, first of all, I mean, you said it best. He's flattened another grown man. And now it's him
different
versus
ones.
A 4-year-old.
I think one of the early ones, I think, was against the Packers. I think it was Al Harris. He was former cornerback for the Packers. Mm-hmm. And there's this one where he's going, it looks like he's going out of bounds, but he turns and knocks the crap out of him.
Yeah.
So, but it's a, you know.
But yeah, not a grown man. Not anybody with the capacity to defend himself. Nor with the capacity to flee. Because if the child flees in this instance, I mean...
It's kind of like, as he's doing this, I think he was texting his mom and talking about how he's hitting him and stuff.
Well...
So that's... It's just, you know, it's one of those things, and you could tell it's quote-unquote old news, but with how he's getting back into the news with...
I don't think it's old news so much as that was the first fallen domino. And we've still not forgotten it. And he keeps... lumping on top of it. That's the point I'm getting to, is it's not just this contract crap. It started with that. I think you're right that this stuff is certainly part of what's quote-unquote vilifying him, but it's I think it's a combination of all the things that are just an abysmal handling of his public image, and for that, obviously, an agent should be fired. There's not even a middle ground there. I agree with you 100% on that.
Oh, and I'll just make sure with this.
Well, put a bow on it. I want this to be the last point here. We got some more.
All I'll say is
to talk about.
Ben Dogra is the agent for Adrian Peterson.
Okay.
Former agent of J.J. Watt, Jermaine Gresham, Trent Williams, Jeremy Maclin. 5-year, $55 million contract. Oh, was fired before that. And, so that's all on that. So Peterson.
Weasel's new best friend.
I think it's the kind of thing you want to believe that it's it's not true and stuff that he's thinking like this, but I think his agent is influencing him and he's turning him in the wrong direction. So
there you go.
That's that.
So, all right. Well, yeah. Anyways, off of that topic, let's go with something a little bit more football, a little bit more fun here. And on the front page of NFL.com, something about the top 10 quarterbacks. And you know what? I'll say this for people that write top 10 lists. It's definitely a Kobayashi Maru territory. If you don't know what Kobayashi Maru is, go to the NGSC Sports YouTube page, look at the Sports Symposium, what makes an MVP. It'll tell you all about what a Kobayashi Maru question in football is. In that case, it's an MVP. In this one, a top 10 list, Kobayashi Maru. You cannot win. You will not win. By its very nation. Yet, by some reason, I can't even fathom. It marks my weakness as a human being that when I see a top 10 list, I have to make a mental effort not to click on it. And on this one, I failed righteously. And not only did I get exactly what I expected, well, I'll basically go into it. And I'm not going to mention the writer's name because I don't want to give this individual credit for anything, good or bad. This person needs to stop writing for NFL.com and stop stealing a good writer's money, okay? I would rather one of the NGSC sports writers get this guy's money because this guy's terrible. Just awful. Anyways.
I'm just wondering, how do you really feel about it?
Well, we can't use those words on the air, Weasel. Sorry.
Oh, so it is escalated then.
You see what I did there? You like that?
Yeah, not bad.
This is the second time I almost cursed but didn't, and you were entertained by it. Boom! I see a thief.
Save Nash.
Save Nash. That's right. It's bleeping crazy. Oh, no! Anyway, because hockey reference. Anyway, so top of the list, Aaron Rodgers. Okay, I can't front on that. Big Ben, Mark 2. Andrew Luck, Mark 3. Russell Wilson, Mark 4. Tom Brady, Mark 5. Romo at 6. Breeze at 7. Rivers at 8. Eli Manning at 9. Peyton Manning at 10.
He's putting the Peyton Manning at 10. I'll give some stats, but just 2 years ago, what was it, 55 touchdowns? Over 4,400-ish yards, and he's number 10. Yeah. And the guy's immobile as anything. It's like, I don't know, his shoes are like, I think it's like cement. And the guy's like, what? A lot of times he's sacked 12, 13 times. I mean, it's the kind of thing good offensive line could be, but
because the past 2 years and now going into a third, Ryan Clady's out, left tackle,
mm-hmm.
due to ACL tear.
But when you have a guy like Andrew Luck, who is he's very mobile, smart quarterback, he's one of the elite, say, you know, top five, definitely. And whenever you have a guy like that, I think he gets sacked like so much. And the other players are getting beat up back there. Yet you have an immobile quarterback that just, he goes to a different team and he's number 10 on the list after breaking records. So I just think that for whenever you have something like a top 10, for like top 10 running backs, you know, you had mentioned Peterson, you got DeMarco Murray and stuff.
Marshawn Lynch
in there. But I think would be a lot better is if it's narrowed down to who's like the comeback kind of player. Who is the best passer? Like running back, I wouldn't call Adrian Peterson the number one running back.
Oh, snap!
I would call him the best runner. But the guy, he's a lot of times when you're the best running back in the NFL, you shouldn't be taken out on third down. Because I think he's a good pass catcher. It's just his pass protection still lacks. And
if you're the best running back in the NFL, how do they take you off of the field on third down? That's a great point, Weasel.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
It's just he has blitzers. And the thing is as a running back, you have to pick him up, especially on third down. And like for the past years, because considering one game last year, Toby Gerhardt was his... the backup to Adrian Peterson 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he was constantly out there on third down. So all around versus specifics, that's that.
Fair enough. Well, and I mean, first of all, okay, so one of many reasons why top 10s are kind of crazy is no one ever tells you what the criteria is.
What do you call best? I mean,
bingo.
Like for Big Ben's number two, he still has, you know, respectable stats and all, but... not many. I don't think a lot of people call him number two.
Well, first of all, here's one thing. And I can tell what's happening here in this list by looking at most of these players. There's only one guy on here. What? There's only two guys on here that don't have one particular thing on their resume. What is that, Weasel?
One more time.
Two guys on here,
mm-hmm.
that don't have a very important piece on their resume. What is that?
You got... It would be Rivers and Luck. Don't have a Super Bowl victory.
Excuse me. Yeah, I forgot about Luck. Three. Yeah.
Romo, Rivers, then Luck, yes.
And they do not have a Super Bowl win, that's right. And
like, how do you express that for a top 10 list?
Moreover, why are you considering it at all?
Yeah. It's like, especially having Peyton... I don't know. That sounds like a personal vendetta type of thing.
This guy's obviously from Boston, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well.
anyways. You know, I mean, if we're looking at it that way, I don't know how many of these guys could throw 55 touchdowns on four neck surgeries. But I'm not even necessarily mad that Peyton is number 10 or that Brady's ahead of him or any of that.
I got something here.
What do you got, Weasel?
Okay, so you got... In the regular season last year, we have the sacks. You have Blake Bortles has 55 of them. And number...
Don't forget your mic.
I got you. Number tied for... Not 19th. Tied for 34th in the league is one Peyton Manning.
Tied for 31st in the league?
34th in the league is Peyton Manning, who last year took...
That means somebody's backup got sacked more than he did.
Oh, no. I have a name right here.
Uh-oh.
So you have 17 sacks, number 34, Peyton Manning. Then you have, at 31, you have Charlie Whitehurst. He was also 17 sacks. And Charlie Whitehurst, Zach Mettenberger, a new guy, 18, which that's pretty impressive. But
both of those being,
that's one of those things. Titan, it's like he's so immobile, and you think Andrew Luck escape. You got Russell Wilson, they escape and everything.
Big Ben, he escapes by beating the hell out of you.
Yeah, tough to take him down. So I think that can be attributed to the offensive line, but some of it's just the smarts of Manning and stuff. So
more controversial. Which Manning brother is more controversial in his placement? Peyton all the way down at 10 or Eli at 9?
Well, I think the only thing is they should be flipped. I think Eli's now a better quarterback because some guy that played last year, Odell Beckham Jr. That's why he's a better quarterback right now.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I would, actually.
He's got better stats. Don't make him a better quarterback.
But
I mean, look, if there's a reason why he needed to jump up and make a catch with three fingers. The ball was high.
Let's see.
No, but I mean, with line issues that Eli's been having, with the fact that the running game has been kind of checkered at best, with the Giants, I don't know that I would put Eli on the top 10 list at all.
Okay.
At least Peyton makes the list, and this writer isn't that stupid. But Russell Wilson in the top 10 is insulting, too. I'm just going to say that while I'm here.
I'll say this. Eli Manning last year, he had Beckham for 12 games, I believe. Not 12. I think it was 14 or 12 games.
All right.
30 touchdowns, 14 INTs. 2013, 18 touchdowns, 27 INTs. And 2012, he was pretty good at 26-15. So I think it really jumped him up.
It couldn't hurt. And not to mention, there's a period of time in there where Victor Cruz was hurt as well. So don't rule that out.
But in this list, the two guys that, people, I know, Russell Wilson, you'll definitely put a knock.
Tom Brady at 5 is stupid, too. I'm just going to call that what it is.
Yep. So, but when you have those two, you have Eli Manning and Russell Wilson, who, technically, if, Pete Carroll's like, I know. Everybody reminds me of it every day. But Russell Wilson could, right now, after 2 out of 3 years, I think he would have won Super Bowls. Eli Manning beat Brady twice. He's got 2 Super Bowls. Peyton's only got 1.
Well, that defense beat Tom Brady. It's the same.
So, but the thing is we're talking about quarterbacks, top 10, and bringing up defenses is kind of...
Oh, are you crazy?
What?
The only reason why Eli and Wilson are on this list is because of the defenses they've had. Of course you bring up defenses. It's a freaking team game.
See, people can look at it different ways. So I think it's just, Wilson, it's just, he
when you look
he
at the
is
tape
good.
Of the player is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anyways, go ahead.
So yeah, Brady, Peyton, I think Brady and Peyton definitely top 10. Big Ben, I mean, the guy
he's
knows us win.
Sure.
He's top 10. And number 2 overall.
That's a little high, I would say. Luck. I would put him top 5.
Luck, I would say top 5.
I agree.
Brees is, I think he throws a good amount of interceptions and stuff.
He took a step back this year.
I'd say
year.
Like number 6 or number 7.
He's easily top 10. I mean,
yeah.
But
so
it's tough for me with Brees. He's got good moments and he's got bad moments lately. And we've proven how much he needs Jimmy Graham of late based on past performance.
Yeah. So
Rivers' top 10 is iffy for me. I'm not angry about it because he's played better with Mike McCoy, but I don't know. We could go on and on about this topic, but unfortunately, we don't have enough time to do so. So, for, actually, Chris Rankin is not here, but for Stephen Weasel Hurley, Weasel Word.
Yeah, boy.
You can find him on Twitter, at Weasel the SOTG. Check out that Twitter account. He is constantly stirring the pot. I see chefs buying him a wooden spoon so he can more proficiently stir the pot. Of course, I am Kyle Nash, the student of the game. Find me on Twitter, at the SOTG. Check out the website, NGSCSports.com. Good times all the way around. I can guarantee you why. Because football, because sports, because we never stop. But until next time, friends, class dismissed.